There we go. A lot of you are looking at your watches and you're thinking, oh no. It's already 20 till, and he hasn't started preaching yet. So I'm going to take that into consideration. We'll see how it goes, all right? But as we come together today, again, looking at it being Memorial Day, Memorial is an interesting thing. Memorial is a day that's set apart to help us remember some special event that's taken place. It's neat today that the seven that were baptized on Memorial Day, because this will be a memorial in their lives, won't it? It'll be a milestone in their lives when they stop and think on May, is it 27? Okay, whatever today is. Memorial Day Sunday weekend, I was baptized to show that I was going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I was going to live for Him. And that Sunday, it's exciting in my life because I'm going to go forward with great guns and live for God and do all that I can in regard to that. And so that's a memorial in their lives. In the Old Testament, there's a few passages that mention setting up a marker that would be a reminder. There was one reminder where it tells us not to remove the ancient landmarks which the fathers have established. And pieces of property, in order to mark out pieces of property, they didn't have GPS yet in Old Testament times. And so, of course, rather than that, there was a pile of stones, or sometimes a stone fence would be put around the property. But sometimes just a pile of stones would be put at each corner to indicate where the property lines were. And that would be given from family to family to family. And one of the admonitions to the younger people was not to move the landmarks that had been set, not to move those cornerstones, so that those properties would be perpetuated throughout time. And of course, there were so many things that had to do with that back at that time. The years of Jubilee, if a person lost his property after so many years, then again he was to be given back his property if he lost it through debt or some problem such as that. Also, the years that they were to let the land lay fallow, and so that it would give the land an opportunity to rest. And we struggle with that today. That's why we have fertilizer and all of those things, because we keep planting over and over and over. And after a while, crops deplete the soil, and then there's not the necessary nutrients there to feed the crops in order that they might be abundant as you'd like them to be. Well, God had a plan for that. He told them every 7 years to let the land lay fallow. And again, that would be important because you would only know which land had been laid fallow and which hadn't by the fact that certain people owned certain properties and the landmarks that were there and remembering those landmarks. Well, also we see spiritual landmarks established in the Word of God. And as we look in different passages, we're reminded as the Bible begins right in the very beginning, God established a day where He rested. And then when we go to the book of Exodus and chapter 20, we find that day listed. If you look in the Word of God, and it's quite interesting as I was looking at this, because as it's mentioned, it doesn't, people today again say, well, we don't have to worry about this anymore. And I understand we're under grace. But you know, the Bible says in chapter 20 of Exodus and verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your servant, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, one thing that's interesting again, and we today obviously have moved to a 5-day work week rather than a 6-day work week. Some of you sometimes have schedules where you have to work more than that, and I understand that. But God knew that people working 7 days a week year-round would not work. It would not be healthy. It would bring illness. Obviously, it would destroy marriages, destroy homes, all kinds of difficulties. And yet, society is such where either a desire for money or the businesses that were worked for a desire for money many times went ahead and mandated that people had to work many hours. But it did take its toll. People's lives were shorter and all kinds of difficulties due to the toll and due to the difficulty that came from it. And so God established this principle. Now notice, as he said, remember the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath was a day to stop and remember creation. It was a day to remember the fact that God had created everything. He was number one. He is supreme, and we are to uphold him in all things. And it was an opportunity to remember that on a weekly basis. God said this is a point, it's a memorial. Every Saturday, of course, then being the Sabbath, every Saturday is a memorial to God and to his creation. The thing I kind of wondered about, and again, we don't believe that it's a legal thing as we think of it from the standpoint of getting to heaven. You don't get to heaven by keeping the law. Now, the law still is in full effect. If a man does not trust Jesus Christ as his Savior, what's he judged by? Okay, all of you say this together, the law. Okay. If a man does not trust Jesus Christ as his Savior, what's he judged by? The law. Okay, the righteousness of the law. He's judged by that. Trusting Christ as your Savior. Christ said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. So he fulfilled every aspect of the law in order that when we allow him to be our substitute, as he died, shed his blood in our place, and as he died in our place, and he made us righteous and holy as he is, as he did that in our place, then he fulfilled the law on our behalf. So as God looks at us, he sees us as righteous and holy if we're born again. He sees us as righteous and holy because Christ fulfilled the Old Testament law on our behalf. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. We're, you know, if we think about it, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to us. I mean, getting married was great, right, men? Everybody agrees, hold your hand up. Getting married was great. Okay, that was great. Being born was great. Yeah. All kinds of events are great in your life, different things that have happened to you. But you know, the day you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that was the greatest event. Because it's not only for this life, it is for eternity. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. And yet, again, the Lord Jesus made that possible by fulfilling the law. Now, if you read through this, I noticed something. Every commandment that's in the law is still important and in effect today. Every one of them. How many of you would say, well, the thou shalt not kill, I think it's okay. That's abolished. It's okay today. We wouldn't say that. What about adultery? Nope, that's still wrong. Even in a immoral world that's wicked in every part, they still look down on some of those things. I laugh at some of the things that keep coming out in the news. It's like, what do you guys think? What have you portrayed on the television? What have you put forth in every place? And now you're upset that some of these things are actually taking place. Who's so silly not to think that that's what would happen? But every one of these are still in effect. So there's a point where I believe God still wants us to honor his day. And even though we've moved it to the first day of the week, I'm glad that you guys are here today. You've shown how important that is to you, and you've shown that you want to honor the Lord and show him respect by your life and by your actions and by the fact, you know, how important it is for your children to see that church is important and that being part of in church is important. Sometimes you say, well, the preacher's message is dull. I know that. I even get bored sometimes. It's like that mother that's trying to wake her son up for church, and she keeps shaking him and everything and saying, come on, you got to get up. Oh, why do I have to get up? Because it's Sunday, you got to get up. Well, why do I have to get up? Well, because you're the preacher. You know, it's one of those kind of one of those kinds of situations. Sometimes, you know, he goes on and says the pastor's boring and all that. And she said, you are the pastor. You know, it's that kind of thing. But at the same time, it's still, what do we do? It's an act of character when we go to church and take our children to church and show them the Word of God. And I know great people in the past who, there was no youth group. Their kids were the only two kids there. But in love, they took their kids to church. They showed them the importance of church. And those kids grew up and became evangelists or pastors, or they were used of God in some business place where they were a witness for God because the parents had a right attitude and they took them and they realized the importance of that. Another great event that took place is back in Exodus chapter 12, if you turn back there, and you see an event that happened where the Lord, after he had sent Moses back to Israel, back to Egypt, and he had sent Moses there to deliver a message to Pharaoh. God used Moses to show the Egyptian people that he was the one true God, that he was above all gods. And so Pharaoh thought he was God, plus they had all kinds of gods that they worshipped and they followed. And yet God brought the different plagues against Egypt, and each one of those plagues in one way or another involved something that the people worshipped or something that they felt they had under control. And God showed them that they didn't control anything. He controlled everything, even turning the river water into blood, bringing the locusts upon the land, the flies upon the land, the frogs upon the land. Until finally, of course, the death angel flew over and killed the firstborn out of every house. And the Bible told the people of Israel in chapter 12 that they should establish a special day in order to be a reminder of that day that he delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt by the death of the firstborn. And so in chapter 12, we read together, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel. On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for the household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in the fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in the fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. So shall you eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, as after that point, God told them to establish one day a year, and they established it. And it was the day of Passover. And of course, as we see the picture here, we see the blood as it's put upon the doorpost. We see the fact that they were to slay a lamb, and it had to be a perfect lamb or a perfect goat that they were to slay. It couldn't have anything wrong with it. Why? Because all of this was representing the future coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you see it represented there over the doorposts, in other words, as we think of entering into salvation, how do we enter in? We come through the blood that's been shed for us on the cross, don't we? And as we see the doorposts, we see the blood on either corner. We think of the cross as we see the blood on each side of the cross where the Lord Jesus' hands were nailed and then where his feet were nailed. We see the blood coming down. And so we see an establishment or a picture, a type of the New Testament cross as it was coming. We see the people as they were redeemed. Nobody's firstborn died in the homes where the blood had been taken care of. And when you come in through the blood to Jesus Christ, you will not ever die spiritually, but you will instantly from this life go to the next life to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, where you have hope and peace and joy forever. And God has established that. He said there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sickness, none of those things that we face today. And so death will have lost its sting. It will have lost its power. It will be taken away. Again, we see that picture. And he told them, as a memorial, every year I want you to have a feast remembering that day that God delivered you from the sin of Egypt and from the ruling power of Egypt and from those who were there. And then we come to a point where we have another remembrance as we look in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. We're reminded of this due in what? Remembrance of me. In other words, we've been given also the same admonition they were to remember at the Passover. It's interesting. When was Christ slain? At the same time that the lamb was slain, just before twilight, for their deliverance from Egypt. And what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ? Of course, he was placed in a grave where he lay for 3 days and three nights. You'll say, well, what about the roasting? Why was the fire roasted? You know, it reminds me of the fact the Bible gives us the indication that Christ went through hell for us, didn't he? He went through hell for us. He experienced the horrible events of hell for us. He took our place. And then we find him on that third day as he raised again. He overcame the power of death. He overcame the power of sin. And for that reason, he could offer to us freely salvation. He could offer to us freely the ability to spend eternity with him. He could give us salvation, and he had paid for it by himself shedding his blood, by himself going through the fire, by himself then raising from the dead so that he might offer to that to us. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What a beautiful picture that he established by the Passover. And what's interesting, Christ was killed on the evening of the Passover. Christ went through the Passover. Christ arose after the Passover. And so he was our picture. And now this says, let us do this and remembrance of me. What's that? We take of the bread, which reminds us of the body that was shed for the Lord Jesus Christ as he hung upon the cross and died in our place. We drink the juice that reminds us of his blood that was shed for us that we might be able to have eternal life. And remind us, it's not our works or our efforts. We're so quick to look at ourselves and think we're good on our own. But it's through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's through the giving of himself that made it possible for us to come to salvation. So even as we remember those who have given their lives, we remember this day that we worship together. We remember that great event that took place in the Old Testament that was a picture of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And then we are reminded today then the fact that we need to regularly remember where we came from and the fact that it's by the precious blood of Christ that our sins are forgiven. It's by his body that was given for us that we're set apart from sin. And a constant memorial is here that we remember regularly here in church, but also it needs to be in our minds and our hearts. And it brings us to the point, you know, the only person that can't have a memorial is one who hasn't been through those events. One who hasn't yet trusted Jesus Christ as his or her Savior. And that's why God has given us the great opportunity to preach that message, to give you the opportunity to trust Christ. We regularly share messages on growth and how to live, but we also constantly keep the gospel before you because at all times someone might step in who's never trusted Christ as their Savior. And we want them to know the glorious news. Yes, you're under the condemnation of the law. Yes, you'll spend eternity away from God without Christ. But God doesn't want you to stay there. He wants to bring you into the fold. He wants you to make it a part of his family. He wants to bring you to heaven. He wants you to understand the joy of the forgiveness of sins. And I hope today, even as we're here, if you haven't trusted Christ, you'll realize what a glorious opportunity you have to accept him as your Savior. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father, we rejoice in this special day that's been set aside. But in the same way, we think of the great heritage that we have. First of all, in what's been done for us and accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come in communion and we remember that memorial, we are reminded that we are only born again because of what you did, not what we did. No works of ours are accepted, only the work that you accomplished through your glorious sacrifice on our behalf, through your wonderful resurrection from the dead. You've given us hope. Lord, if there's one here today that's trusting works or efforts, or maybe they've not really even sat and thought about these different things that we're bringing before them today, I pray that right now you would bring a clarity to their minds and hearts that they can trust you as Savior by putting their faith in you. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking for just a minute, maybe you'd say, Pastor Ray, I'm not sure I'm born again. Maybe most of you are. I hope most of you are. But there's always someone that might step in, or someone who's just not sure in their heart. This is a great opportunity for you to put your faith in Christ. This is a great opportunity for you to know you're on your way to heaven. God's done so much to accomplish that for you and give it to you. As we are so thankful for what those have done for us here in giving us this country, we even have a greater thanks to God for His wonderful gift of salvation and for what He's offered to us freely. And maybe this morning you'd say, I need to trust Christ. I would do that right now. If you would pray with me, or someone would take me to a room privately, I would go and they could take the Bible and just show me briefly how to be saved. It doesn't take long, but it's something you need to do, or you don't face eternity with God instead away from Him. We don't want to see that. God loves you. Won't you trust Him today? Just raise your hand. No one's looking. Say, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to be saved. As we're thankful today for those who have given their lives for our country, again, we as Christians need to be ever thankful and have out in front of us that glorious memorial of what Christ has accomplished for us. You know, if we look at that, it keeps us from being intimidated and sharing the gospel with others. It keeps us from not standing for truth and for righteousness when we need to, because we realize what Christ Himself has done on our behalf. As we're dismissed today, I pray that we'll go out of here with a greater desire to share the wonderful news of Jesus Christ, and two, that we'll want to stand for truth and righteousness as those in the past have done to give us this great country and the great opportunity that we have to live here. Father, we rejoice in all that you've accomplished. As we're dismissed today, I pray that you'll work in every heart that's here. Lord, help us to make a new determination to live for you. We're going to all stand together. The piano's going to play, and as it does, I'm going to ask those that were baptized to come forward. But maybe you too need to come and dedicate your life. Maybe there's something in your life where you say, there's some sin in my life, or I just want to renew my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's accomplished for me. Whatever God's doing in your life, won't you just step out and come today? Even as these others are coming, you come and join them in prayer. Thank you.